overwhelmed with your child's problem? I was. And God sent somebody with this scripture promise. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. I know there are a lot of children with problems today, and God sent me to help you, to share with you that healing and health and success are part of your salvation covenant. Listen to this. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom, their total well-being. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in working order. God wants total well-being for all children. That's God's will. Let's work together to take it by faith. I'll be right back. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Glory to God. Welcome back to the Great Shalom Broadcast. We have been talking about praying, how to pray. And last time we talked about praying in the name of Jesus. Today we're going to follow that by talking about how to pray in authority. These things are highly connected, as you'll see. Praying in the name of Jesus, praying in authority. Wouldn't you like your prayers to have power, to have authority? Well, they can, and I'm here to tell you how. So let's turn, if you would, to Ephesians, the first chapter, and you can be doing that. You know, there is so much in the name. The name. In fact, when Jews are talking about God, often they'll say Hashem, the name. And this is their very respectful manner of speaking of the Lord. And even Jesus followed this custom. You'll see in Matthew, which is written for Jews, Jesus is depicted as saying the kingdom of heaven, whereas Luke makes it clearer because he's writing to Gentiles, presumably people in Rome, and he says, you know, translates it, Jesus saying, the kingdom of God. Okay, so Jews think the personal name of God, which was given to them and us in Moses. You remember Moses at the burning bush? And he says, well, who's sending me? What is your name? And so God gives Moses his personal name. Great gift. And the Jews, out of respect, don't pronounce that name. And so they say, the name. And so there's been, you see, so much about the name, so much power, so much understanding about the name. You know, God giving Moses his personal name is a great gift, and we do this in our society, although it's covered up so much in our very current culture. But in our culture, English-speaking culture, when you meet somebody, you meet them and you greet them by their title and their last name. Hello, Mrs. Sarles, people would say to my mother. But my father would call my mother by her first name and vice versa. And in fact, I had many relatives when the wives were speaking of their husbands to someone else, they would still call them Mr. and use the last name. And so it is. And had always been. So the first name is used by intimates. And I say it's covered up in our culture because our culture seems to have thrown etiquette entirely out the window. And people who have never met me will call me by my first name. And of course, this is completely inappropriate and rude, or else they're indicating that I am low class, insignificant person. No, it's respectful to call somebody by their last name and their title. But intimates, you know, close personal friends then call one another by their first name. And so, isn't that amazing? I mean, of anyone who we should respect, it would be the king of the universe, the creator. Yes? But we can have a personal, intimate relationship with this God, king of the universe. That's quite awesome. And in fact, that is what Jesus is teaching when he teaches his disciples and us to say, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. See, this is not typical Jewish thinking, certainly not at the time, or even today. Jesus is bringing us into an intimate relationship with God. And let's even talk about Jesus' name, Jesus Christ. Christ isn't his last name. It's a title. It's a translation from Greek, a word that means anointed, which, of course, Greek was translated from the Hebrew. And the word for anointed in Hebrew is Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, so Christ is a title. And Jesus, the word Jesus that we say in English, is translation from Hebrew Yeshua, which means God is salvation. So his personal name actually uses God's personal name in it and means God is salvation. What a better name for Jesus, because in fact, Jesus was God reaching out to us to save us. And he is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. And anytime you see Christ, think anointing, because if the Holy Spirit is in you and you are full of the Holy Spirit, then you are also anointed. And we could go on. There's so much in the name. Jesus is the name. So this also says, when we say Jesus is the name, you know, there are songs like this, but we are saying that this is how God is. This is the nature of God to want to save us. God is love, and this love is demonstrated in Jesus the Christ. To have a first name basis relationship with God the Creator, God the Judge, God the Savior. Ha! Man. What more can you need if the King of the universe, the Creator of everything, is your Savior? Is your intimate? When the Anointed One, God's King on earth, lives inside of you and you inside of Him, like you are married to the King's Son, what more could you need in the kingdom? You have standing with the King. Relating it back to my culture, okay? So my mother, Mrs. Sarles, she had standing because she was married to Mr. Sarles. So if she went into a store, like she shopped at Sears store and she walked in and she wrote a check at Sears store, they didn't question her. Mrs. Sarles, do you have any money? Do you own any property? What did you do to come by this money? No, they said, oh, Mrs. Sarles, thank you so much for your, because they saw she was Mrs. Sarles, and Mr. Sarles made money, and Mrs. Sarles, in this case, was a procurement agent for the family. She had standing because of her relationship with my dad in that case. And in the same way, we have standing in the kingdom by our relationship with the King. So if you are an ambassador of a kingdom and you're sent to a foreign country to represent that kingdom, they don't say, "Who are you, little pipsqueak?" They say, "Oh, welcome, you know, ambassador so-and-so." And say you're an ambassador from a country that has a king, they treat you with respect because you are the king's representative. They treat you with respect because you represent that kingdom. And if they don't treat you with respect, then they are saying something not only to you and your own person, but to the country, to the kingdom, to the king. And that would create some consequences, how they treat the ambassador, yes? Of course. Similarly, we are ambassadors of Christ. Have you heard this? Of course. We are ambassadors for Christ. We should move in the Spirit, aligned with the kingdom principles, with the way our family does things, our family, the family of God. And as such, when we are this, then we have authority. Now, we may not have any kind of authority and power in ourselves because we're human beings, but we have authority because we have a relationship with the King of the universe, God. And we have power too. Same source. Exactly in the same way. Let us turn to Scripture, Ephesians 1, and see how this works out, and particularly in prayer. Let's start with Ephesians, the first chapter, and verse 15, and I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Version once again. Although I love the King James, I'm finding that people who are newer don't necessarily, well, they have a hard time understanding the older English, and the New American Standard is a translation I trust as being a little more literal. So Ephesians 1 and 15, "For this reason I too," Paul is speaking, "having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Okay, so Paul is here talking, he's going to talk about his prayer for the Ephesians, and of course, we as parents, as educators, we're going to pray for our students. So let's find out about Paul's prayer. "That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Wow. Is that glorious? Or is that glorious? Glorious. There's so much there. But you see that Paul is praying in relationship to the work of Christ, envisioning this power and praying that over the Ephesians in this case. And this is also how we should pray for our children, envisioning, remembering our connection with the Lord, with God through Jesus, the Christ, and the power and authority that brings. And specifically, he says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Okay, so he is stacking, and I understand it to be ascending order, but stacking up words in terms of the spiritual authority that is existing in the universe. So Jesus is above all magistrates, all authority, all spiritual power, all any kind of power, right? Jesus is above it all. And why? Because he was raised from the dead and seated at his right hand. Now, how I understand this is that Jesus cooperated with the Lord, showed the Lord's nature and glory so much to the nth degree, not only in walking about perfectly, but also in taking on unmerited suffering for us. And so he certainly earned that right to be above everything, although he was God from before time. Anyway, it says here, God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now, this is to say, when the king seats you at his right hand, you are next to him in his throne. And so next to God in authority. And so by analogy, of course, how we understand spiritual things, we have to use natural words. So this says in the 20th chapter, that Jesus is right next to God in his authority, in his kingly authority. And then in 21, it says, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. So he is above every other thing. And then it says, above every name that is named. Every name that is named. What kind of name, authority, is there in the universe? We'll go over here to another translation, just verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the ages and the worlds which are to come. So what kind of authority could there be? Doctors have a certain kind of authority. Teachers have a certain kind of authority. Government officials have a certain kind of authority. Angels and demons may have a certain kind of authority, but Jesus' authority is above everything. Reality, you may say, I hear you say it, reality has a certain kind of authority. Jesus, what you're looking at is facts when you're thinking this. Jesus has authority beyond that. Is there a greater reality than death? Oh, yeah. Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus has conquered death, which we're taught is the last enemy. It is conquered, past tense. Far above all. What's not in all? All rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray in total authority. We pray, yes. All right, so Jesus is sitting right next to God's throne. And aren't we in Jesus? Are we in Christ? And he in us? So where are we seated? Right next to God's throne. And where is Jesus? Far above all and every. And so where are you when you're praying in the Spirit? Okay, we're in Christ. It's not based on how much we pray or how spiritual we feel. This is an established fact. It's established truth. And let's go on. Verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If you were the church, if you are connected with Jesus, then you have authority and you have been commissioned and told to use that authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go. Isn't that right? In the Great Commission. It has been quoted. Teacher, now past, who said, are your feet in your head? Well, clearly, no, your feet are at the end of your body. Your feet are in your body. By this, he meant to tell us that we don't wait around for Jesus to exercise authority. Jesus has been granted authority. Jesus did his overcoming. It is now our turn to exercise authority. He is seated. He's at rest. And God will put all things in subjection under his feet. Who is his feet? Jesus is the head. So who is the feet? Do you have a revelation yet? You are to go out and exercise authority because you are ambassadors of the kingdom. We can see that again in Ephesians 6 and 13. Same letter to the Ephesians. And Paul says, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Is this an evil day? Maybe an evil day has come to your family. Well, take up your authority. No good to have weapons lying around if you're not using them, right? And I'm talking about the weapon of the sword of the word, the shield of faith, authority in the name of Jesus. Just like my mother would say, Mrs. Sarles, well, you are Mrs. Jesus. And so this here, this passage in the first chapter of Ephesians, this is the grounding of our authority, that we are in Christ who has been raised from the dead. This is also the vision or telos of our authority, that this is the grand plan of God, that we should exercise authority until all things are manifestedly in the subjection of the kingdom of love. And our outwork in between the beginning and the end, is right here in Ephesians 6 and 15, F6 and 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that ye may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. And so this is how you should pray, in authority. And when you are praying for the well-being of your children, pray in authority. Don't pray, oh, maybe, I hope. Oh, Satan is coming to get us. No, you say, Satan, be gone. I command. And speak the word of God over your children. All my offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. I know when the warfare gets hard, it's hard even to think of what scripture to use. But there you remember, great shalom. All my offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom, their total well-being, great prayer. Speak that over your children. Meditate on these things. Meditate on your authority. You know, this is a great little topic for a 30-second broadcast, but it's so much more. You know, I was taught this when I was a teenager. I'm still working on how to apply it. Apply yourselves. Meditate. Go to Ephesians. Read this. Pray this. Pray this every day. Pray this over your family. Work on it. Just as if you were a knight in medieval times, you would take your sword and you would practice. And only thus would you become a strong knight. In the same way, mother, teacher, prayer warrior, start meditating. Understand, learn how the name of Jesus is your authority, and that you have authority in prayer to enforce well-being over those you are praying for. This is the kind of authority you have, just like Jesus. Just as God sent Jesus, so he has sent us. What about doing good, healing, delivering, saving? We are ambassadors of the same kingdom with the same authority. Amen. So let us pray. Oh, Father God in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you have given us. Help us to understand it, respect it, and use it. And I pray for my listeners. I pray that they will see their authority in the Spirit and evermore pray to you and pray more strongly that they will take their spiritual authority over their lives, over the lives of their children, over their students, if that's their vocation, that they would not allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, but instead they would enforce kingdom principles of love and of truth and of righteousness. So I pray blessing. I pray success. I pray academic success. I pray prosperity. I pray prosperity in relationships over my listeners and over their offspring and over their students. Release it by faith in the mighty name, in the authority of Jesus, the Messiah. Glory to God. It's good, isn't it? Please do write me. Let me know what you received. Give us a testimony. And you can email me at info@greatshalom.org. Info at great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom is shalom.org. Or my P.O. Box is P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. We do have a free offer this month. If you will send us a donation of any amount, we'll send you a CD, God Wants Healing, Health, and Wholeness. I do have a book that's available on God Wants to Heal You. And you can get that by clicking through on the website at www.greatshalom.org. We also have a study guide, which would be a turnkey study guide. Maybe you and your friends would like to study how to pray better. And I have a study guide called Contend for your children that you can get on the website also, www.greatshalom.org. So once again, the address is P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.